It's been nearly 80 years since schoolgirl Greta Thunberg stood at the gates of the Swedish parliament and sparked a global youth-led movement called Fridays for the Future. Thousands of Irish students also took part, bringing their protest to the gates of the Dáil. We'll be getting the latest from our environment correspondent George Lee as COP30 opens in Brazil. But first, our reporter Dee McAfane has been back to speak to some of those who took part in those school protests, beginning with Jessica Dunn.
So in 2018, when I was 14 years old, I got involved with Fridays for Future. I'd begun to understand the breadth of the climate crisis and the fact that it was going to affect the rest of my life and the rest of my future generations' lives. And I felt really paralyzed about what I could do about it. And then I heard about the global climate strike that was happening. And that really got me thinking that, like, I should be getting involved. I sent a text, I got really involved, and from there I started organizing the global climate strikes and showing up for some of the weekly strikes. The goal of these protests was to get the government to engage in better and more radical climate action. Our government has always, as with most issues, been very rhetorically supportive of climate action, but in terms of what they materially do, they haven't actually made structural changes that move us towards a greener future.
Do you feel like anything has changed? Where do you think we are at the moment?
I think there's hope in terms of where we're at the moment, because we've had like a reduction in the amount of greenhouse gases. We're back to 1990 levels. At the same time, this is all the very easy solutions that we have. This is changes in agriculture mainly that are driving this change. And while there are small things like that that make huge differences, the things that will actually get us to the point where we can reduce our fossil fuels at the levels that we're supposed to be, they're not being done.
And what's your hope for the future with COP30 coming up?
At COP30, I worry that it will be the same that I've seen at every COP before, where we have week one, where we have a lot of conversations about radical climate action and the need to push for it, and then week two, in which everything is reduced down to the bare essentials and in which we don't actually have strong commitments to change, and we also stop listening to the Global South voices.
Inspired by the global wave of climate activism in 2018, C. O'Connor rallied students to the streets outside Cork City Hall demanding change.
For a lot of people, it was a generation kind of waking up to the situation that we're in with regards to the climate crisis. And so for a lot of people, it was also just an expression of kind of grief and rage and fear and coming out on the streets, you know, frequently, like every week for some of us, and for others every month or every couple of months, to express that together and to try and direct it somewhere. And that was really powerful and important as well. The momentum around these conferences and the momentum on global climate justice in general, it doesn't come from politicians or states or UN conferences. It comes from people. And I guess our hopes always lie there.
Once a lone school student sitting on Air Square in Galway holding a handmade sign, Scott Ryder now has mixed feelings about the future.
The goal back then was to basically make people see that there were people out there who, like myself, who really cared about what was going on to and what was happening to our ecosystems on a global level. I feel that maybe people are somewhat more aware of the climate crisis, but ultimately I think the fundamental change that needs to take place in order to actually reverse and stop global warming, I feel that change has not been made. I hope that I do recognize people within Ireland who are becoming more interested in living in a way that doesn't exploit and harm nature, but actually gives back. I hope that the Irish nation will, as it continues to develop in the future, that it will develop in the interest of our climate and of the future human race as well.
As the founder of Fridays for Future Limerick, Saoirse Exton is cautiously optimistic about the future as she prepares to follow the upcoming COP30.
It was back in, March 1st, 2019. I was 13 and I remember seeing videos of climate strikers in Australia, that was late 2018. And I made a sign and I sat down outside of a local government building and I started protesting. And that's how it started. I think generally, you know, we were calling for climate action, an adequate climate action along the lines of climate justice. So there was a lot of different goals. and we've sort of regressed a little bit in our fight for climate action. So I do think generally things have gotten worse, unfortunately. But I do believe that change is possible because I think I have to believe that.
Change is possible. That report from Dee McAvaney. And our environment correspondent George Lee joins us now from the United Nations annual climate change conference, COP30, which is taking place in Belém in Brazil. And George, Brazil's president Lula da Silva has said this is the COP of truth, the moment that world leaders show they're serious about tackling climate change. Is this COP measuring up to that commitment so far?
Well, Anya, the COP hasn't started and won't start until Monday. What's happened in yesterday and today is the leaders' summit. And so there's less colour around at the moment, and there's a lot of the statements been made about country positions and what they're shaping up to do in terms of climate and what their attitude, setting the tone and so on. So in terms of colourful protests and so on, that won't ever happen until next Monday here. So what is happening is certainly a sense that the leaders who are here are disappointed, obviously, that there are not more of them here. And the reason for that is because I guess the United States' position in relation to climate has really challenged them. And that's one of the things they have in the background here. And Micheál Martin yesterday was very clear and open about it. He said, the reason why I'm here is because the US and others aren't here. And in doing that, he's underlining the most important thing, I think, in terms of those such as the European politicians and certainly the European Union are concerned, is that they will not give up on this in fight for climate action just because it looks as if the tide is going out in some countries and in the United States and so on. So in terms of political tone, I think that's very strong from the leaders here who are here, and particularly from the European Union. Just like all of those young people, they're aware that people are critical of these COP negotiations and have often been. But they're saying it's very difficult to get agreement among all these countries. But by God, given that so many people are beginning to unwind the whole notion of multilateral advances in terms of climate action and addressing this issue and denying the science, well, we're not going to do that. It's really important we stick together. We've got to get a strong result out of this COP. We are here for that reason, and putting it up to the others who aren't here to basically say we're not going to cave in yet. So I would say the scepticism that a lot of the young people are talking about there, a talking shop and stuff like that, it must be so frustrating looking at it now. That was the situation before the US pulled out, before the attendance of all of the leaders began to dwindle a little bit. So it would be really frustrating. So that's one of the big, big pressures here, to make sure they do something.
And while you have, as you say, George, the shadow of Donald Trump and his anti-green policies hanging over this COP and world affairs, at the same time, that's contrasting with the science, and the science saying global warming is actually getting worse at an exponential rate practically.
Oh, absolutely. And Antonio Guterres was very strong on it yesterday, as he always is strong. His statements are full of very strong wording, although I'm not too sure what impact it has. But, you know, he said it was a moral and deadly negligence to allow global heating to go above 1.5 degrees Celsius. There's an acceptance among all of the climate scientists associated with UNFCCC. They're the people who organise this aspect of the COPs and so on, that global warming will go above 1.5 degrees Celsius very early in the next decade, in the about 2030 or thereabouts. And if more efforts aren't made, we will go above 2% by 2048. Absolutely catastrophic. It sounds like, oh, well, that's only a little bit more. But every fraction of a degree means you're going to have more of those hurricanes such as you had this year in Jamaica, more of that flooding that you had in Valencia last year, more of Storm Owens, and much, much more. So it really, really matters. And so you look at the rising sea levels, you look at the pace at which they're rising, you look at the impact for island states, all of that. So there's nothing has unwound. In fact, it has accelerated in terms of the alarm bells. You know, the vital signs of the Earth as they measure them are all flashing red, according to some reports. That's the way they put it. And we all know it ourselves. I mean, you could look around and you can see it on our news every week, every day. You see disaster stories in relation to weather and impact and rising sea levels and declining ice levels and so on all over the world. It is not going away, no matter what happens in the United States with the Trump administration.
Looking forward to more of your reporting, George. Thank you. That's our environment correspondent, George Lee.